Welcome, campers, to Camp Blood.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
No, I'm Jason. No, I mean John.
The fucking Jason.
Sorry, I was doing my Pamela Voorhees.
Pamela Anderson? Is that what you
it's my Pamela Anderson. Do it for Jason. Just kidding. Pamela Anderson is doing, I bought the Naked Gun movie and she's fantastic.
Yes, I'm still waiting to watch it. Yeah, I can't wait to watch it. And welcome to our annual spooky special, Camp Blood, a Friday the 13th retrospective. This week we are doing Friday the 13th, surprise, surprise, part 3 and part 4.
3D.
Yeah, yeah, I know there's subtitles, that's why I hesitated for like half a second. But yes, it's Friday the 13th, part 3, 3D, which I love when a title is just redundant and long. And Friday the 13th, the final chapter. This is it, John. The
final. And thank goodness this is over. There's no more movies. Not the highest note to end on, I'll be honest. Probably the weakest of the series so far.
Okay.
If you consider, like, if you compare, like, it's hard. Because you're comparing literally apples to, like, big piles of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Horses, apples. Yeah. big pile of shits of horses, apples. But yeah, they got out early. They got out and that's it. Friday the 13th, it doesn't continue for
It's over.
Six more movies. So
they blew their budget on Corey Feldman, even though he wasn't a famous actor yet. They just assumed.
Well, they got to keep up his alleged drug use.
They blew all their money on pre-superstars Corey Feldman and pre-superstar Crispin Glover, so
yeah, they blew it up all their nose. That's a cocaine joke. So, as always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. I'll give our first thoughts and then go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, we are doing part 3 today, part 4. We have 5 and 6 next week, 7 and 8. We've done part 1, we've done part 2. Make sure you're following us for our continuing retrospective on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Did you say continuing?
Yes.
But the second movie we're reviewing today is the final chapter.
In spoilers, I'll tell you a spoiler about the franchise. About that.
Oh, no. No.
I got a big spoiler for you, John.
He joins the Mighty Ducks.
No. That's an actual dude. That is a great idea for a sequel. Just, hockey team.
He like lives a double life where he's like, oh, this is a great cover, right? I'm just gonna be the goalie for this team and never take my mask off. I'm the greatest goalie. And he's like, I love these kids. I don't love any other kids at camps, fuck them, but these kids here in the city, the inner city youths, they're my family. It happens after he goes to Manhattan. Oh, spoiler, I know there was more than 4 movies.
No, yeah, I mean, this could be like Slapshot with Jason or something.
Yeah, you're like, what was the other one? Goon?
Goon, yeah. Yeah. All right, we're hitting on to some great things. But we're just here to talk about part 3, 3D. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Friday the 13th, 3D, Tommy Chong hangs with teens.
Right? Was it not Tommy Chong? Can't convince me otherwise.
Why not? Everybody, like, I don't know if they probably weren't teens, but I don't know.
No,
it's confusing. Like, one of the guys in the movie, I mean, I'll talk about it later. Coming in at number 2 for Friday the 13th, part 3, 3D. Teens leave barn door open.
This fucking barn, man.
Yeah, just somebody locked the fucking barn.
It is a major
Jason
set piece.
Jason is trapped all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Friday the 13th, 3D. Greatest Friday the 13th theme song.
Okay, yeah, that's just accurate. That's just accurate. Yeah. One of my absolute favorites. I was just, even when it kicked on,
immediately downloaded the album.
I was literally just like bopping my head like, yeah, this is fucking good.
So the soundtrack is nothing but the score. So like a lot of it's like, eh, whatever. But like the theme song, I'm like, this fucking rules.
Amazing. I love this. I know. That's great. Okay. We're at part three. I feel like we enjoyed the first one, and part two, we're a little bit more mixed on. I think I enjoyed it more than you. But
yeah, probably.
You had your 3D glasses all set.
Yes.
While watching this movie. Well, what'd you think?
I don't know if it's because of the soundtrack. I feel like I liked it more than the second one.
Okay.
But it's still, nothing is touching the first one so far. It's like not a good movie, I'll tell you that right now. But I feel like each of these actors really leaned into what kind of character they're supposed to play, and it's that what's what made it kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it, I guess. I'm not sure what else. It happens so fast. It's such a quick movie.
Fair.
You know, what they show up to the cabin and then they start dying. That's about it.
Hmm, interesting. I would say
there's a weird actor kid.
Yeah, that's pretty consistent from this movie to the next. Yeah. I would say that I think when something, this movie is like a copy of a copy of a copy at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, a copy of a copy of a copy eventually loses its originality. It's not as good as the previous. And this movie, I think, painfully was really bad. In stark contrast to what part two was. I thought I actually quite enjoyed part two a little bit more. There are actually some more memorable characters. I would say there's no redeeming characters here. I didn't like a single person. And the things that I do remember about the characters that were in part three were only because of how terrible it was. Like, how terrible the script was, how terrible the acting was. I could not tell you anybody's name. I refuse to learn anybody's name in the series. Because it's just so terrible.
I mean, to be
terrible.
Fair, I remember one name from the second movie, and I think that's Paul.
Hmm.
And that is only because our final girl says it like 18,000 times at the end of the movie.
Yeah, she's like that.
I don't remember anybody else's name, though.
Right, yeah. So, and I just...
Oh, we also have to point out that we get another recap.
Yes, this is a growing trend. A very unlikable growing trend for this series already.
Yeah. I think next movie is going to be the last time we get it, I think.
Okay. Okay, fair. Good.
I'm not sure, but I think...
Honestly, I just did not like this movie at all. I thought we were like bad characters, boring plot. It was basically the same movie. Essentially,
yeah.
A group of kids go out to some cabin. They get murdered, and the final person or whatever finds them all murdered in the house and tries to run. And then they try to tie it back to something with the mom or the son or Jason or his psyche. And then that's it. He dies. He's dead. So I don't know. It just didn't. The only positive I would say about this is like, this is the first time we get Jason in his iconic hockey mask, which is
the hockey mask.
Yeah. This is the first time it truly pops up.
An hour later with, because we have one character that's like a weird film theater kid, I guess, who, that's the thing. I think like this is the beginning of that trope where we don't give the kids that we want dead redeeming qualities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. Where like our main final girl, you can tell is going to be our main final girl because she's like, I haven't been here since I got attacked. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Like, what are you talking about? You weren't in the second movie at all. Like, I was so confused.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's finally a flashback, which it plays out like almost like a PSA about attackers. I don't know. I don't explain it. It felt like a infomercial about like, hey, are you going to get attacked by this person? It was like a static shot where she gets attacked by the lake by Jason and then she runs away.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think I liked the characters as characters more. Like if they were like pickable characters in a video game, they'd be more interesting. Like you get the three biker gang people that clearly have never seen a biker gang in their life.
Right.
Like what are they wearing? Like the bad, right? The only chick in the biker gang is like this badass, but she's wearing disco pants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. Like the white dude in the bank, it was like a white guy, a black guy, and then this chick who is racially ambiguous.
Okay.
Like they're trying to cross check all the boxes real quick. And then the white guy is like the tiniest person on earth. I'm like, I don't know why anybody would be afraid of this guy.
Yeah. Well, I would say noticeably this is very much, they've changed locations. They very much shot this in LA right now. It looks like fucking LA.
Yeah.
Big time. They got LA actors. I would say I could not wrap my head around was like, why was everything going and happening around this stupid barn? Like, why did we have the entire movie's in a barn? But whatever, even the bikers get involved with the barn because they're like upset at the kids for reasons, you know, which didn't make sense, just to get them out to the barn so we could have eventually Jason kill them.
I guess I've been to this place before and didn't realize. Well, I mean, this wouldn't be a movie I hold dear to my heart, regardless of how many times I've seen it, which this is going to be like the third time. And I remember why I don't watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, the theme song fucking slaps. So it's really hard not to watch it, at least the first like 15 minutes. But this is over in Melody Ranch. So like Newhall, Saugus, Santa Clarita.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think they clearly constructed the barn for the movie. And they're just like, okay, we'll just shoot it all in the pocket barn. And it's just like, yeah, everything fucking happens in this barn. It's like silly. I would say like these movies are just so like unfortunately the locations are like super, drab and ugly and boring. There's no like kind of like redeeming factor to any of these locations.
You can tell they started doing like, we're gonna pump more probably money into this that the producers are gonna take.
Yep.
And be like, we just need a fucking movie. I don't care. They're gonna sell.
Yeah.
Because I mean, this is the days before content was like just in abundance, right?
Mm-hmm. Turning out movies really fast was not a hard thing to do, I believe.
No.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also the very annoying character of Shelley, who's memorable, but boy, does he have some of the worst fucking lines. You know, the kid that pretends to kill himself a lot and is just sort of awkward and weird.
The theater film kid.
Yeah, he's just, oh man, this character was just,
I mean, he is the reason Jason Voorhees has a hockey mask.
Yeah, that's true. I like that that's part of the lore there, that this is where he collects the hockey mask. And
now we get, I guess that's a spoiler. I don't know. I'm not sure what the spoilers are on these movies anymore. You know what's going to happen.
Right. Right.
But I was going to say, like, one key sort of feature of the hockey mask is now given to us as to why it looks like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
We could say for the other movie, but yeah, there's like a little bit of a continuation continuity with the mask, and this is like its origin, and it's at its cleanest, right? Is that what you're referring to? Yeah. That it kind of like slowly looks worn out as the series goes on,
or like worn out, or like there's something that happens to the mask at like several points that we understand why, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just also noticed that like, I think there was certain, since this movie was shot in LA, there was like this certain appeal that like part one and part two had very like New Jersey actors, New York actors, kind of like character actors.
Yeah, yeah.
And this movie is just like littered with just LA people, LA actors.
Yeah. It's painfully LA.
Yeah. Even like you're referring to the sort of biker gang that's here, you know?
Oh, they're so like acting, trying
to be these like very tough, antagonistic, rude bully type characters. And
I was going to say, it almost feels like they saw Return of the Living Dead and they try to emulate that. But I don't even think that movie had come out yet.
I would agree. Yeah, I think this movie came out, what, in early 80s? Early 80s?
Came out in 82. Yeah. So, yeah, Return of the Living Dead didn't come out for like another 3 or 4 years because it seemed like they were doing a bad version of that.
Yeah. And I did not like our first victims here in this first opening with the sort of poor woman with very cliched, wears all of her hair rolls, and she's like in the middle of the night and she's like yelling at her husband about something stupid. And
oh, I made a joke about like they're trying to make her like a haggard woman, right?
Right.
And this is where you get like real LA actors, like before they start casting people that are appropriate for the roles. She was like way too pretty to play that role, I thought.
A little young too. Yeah.
Yeah, a little young, like too, like she was very attractive and they tried to like really make her look ugly. And I think this, what other movie did I see this in? Where like she was like too attractive for this guy, but I'm like also assuming, hey, I guess it's whatever fake place they're trying to be at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's very like Evil Dead 2 when the hillbillies come out and she's like gorgeous, and then you got like that really dorky guy who's like arguably the best actor in the movie. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, anyway, but there's no good actors in this movie. I'm gonna say that right now.
Yeah, there's just like even the guy who's sitting in the middle of the road for reasons shows them a dead eye, or I don't know what he just had to see whatsoever.
Oh, it was like a rabbit's eye or something like that.
Didn't understand what any of this meant. I guess it's supposed to be foreboding, right? Like warning them there could be death ahead or something. Is that what the intention was? Because I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you what this scene was. And I think fucking Jason murks him like soon after, right?
Yeah, probably. I was going to say, I think he's just supposed to be another one of like the loony drunk guy from the first movie.
Right.
And second movie.
Mm, yeah, I agree. And in terms of our like cast of actors, didn't know any of their names. There's like fake Tommy Chong, and his wife or whatever girlfriend. Well, I don't understand why they're hanging out with like this 40 plus year old man. I didn't understand the relationship. But at least for the other ones were, I guess the other kids were like a little bit more age appropriate, and you kind of tell maybe they're just friends hanging out or something along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, none of them really made sense. No, like they didn't really explain their relationships to each other either. Like just kind of
they're just kept going. Young, horny kids that are all going to eventually try to sleep with each other.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. I tried to make sense of it and then I just gave up and I was like, let me just enjoy the soundtrack.
I mean, that's where I'm at. I'm like, these kids, okay, group of kids, they pair off and then they're eventually all going to get like in some sort of like sex thing or something. And then they're going to get murdered. Then they're going to fucking get murdered. That's pretty much the setup for all of these movies. I feel like this movie in general is just a really, really poor imitation of the last movie, like almost beat for beat, which is why I enjoyed it far less because it's just.
Yeah,
characters.
I'm gonna say like the second one did have better moments, but I pretty much hold it almost in the same regard of like entertainment value for me, where I was like, this is like if it's on TV, I'll watch it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But that's about it. Like I'm not going out of my way to watch this again.
And I feel like the third is the opposite. And even like the poor, we didn't talk too much about like there are some like. Not too many, but there are a lot of shots that are kind of set up to be 3D. And even without seeing them in their 3D effect, like they seem like they were probably just really poor 3D, you know, because they have like the weapons that are like, they have like a really shallow lens. So it looks like it's directly in front of you. You see the full length of like certain things or like the yo-yo. He does the yo-yo into the camera. So for an effect, the shooting arrow, it's like, all of these little things didn't really seem like they'd be that fun.
I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and say, to be fair, for like early 80s, I mean, I can't think of like what was a super popular 3D movie at the time. Like they were all 3D at one point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we're very much used to like early 2000s, late 90s idea of 3D, where it was like very in your face to a point where like it would make you nauseous. I remember I hated going to 3D movies because I'm like, I'm just going to feel fucking sick and take off my glasses and not be able to see anything.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you ever got that same feeling, like, especially in the early 2000s. I'm like, I don't like this.
I never liked the gimmick. Yeah. The 3D gimmick.
No,
I want to say that got a renaissance. I also feel like go ahead.
Your eyes get adjusted midway through the movie. So it's not 3D anymore.
Mm.
I don't know if you had that issue too, where I was like, oh, my eyes are adjusted to whatever's going on. So I can't see anything fun.
Yeah. I couldn't explain how the technology worked, but I know that they, early 2000s, they did, it's more like digital, Peter-y effect. Like there's still some in-camera tricks they did, obviously, right? But then they're like, there's like some other component to it because they...
Yeah, they would also focus all the attention to like direct to camera.
Mm-hmm.
So when you watch these movies without the 3D effect, it looks kind of weird. It looks like they fucked up because they're looking directly at the camera or like stuff like that. Like things fly directly at the camera too.
I just feel like this became a gimmick again in the early 2000s because of Wow, I think wasn't, I was going to say that there was like, you know how they try to remake all those like Vincent Price horror movies and B movies?
Oh, yeah, like House on Haunted Hill.
And Ghost Ship and fucking Ghost 13 Ship. Ghosts and shit like that. I think it's when I first remember that effect kind of being brought back. And then I think, what is it, Avatar?
Which we, by the way, everybody, we just named three banger movies.
It's better than this movie. Go watch those movies instead of this movie.
Yeah, those are actually all great. Like, I will hear no slander about Ghost Ship. That movie's fucking amazing.
Yeah. And
soundtrack is terrible.
But yeah, like even, I think like 3D became a thing again when Avatar came out, the first one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was like a big step in turning everything 3D. So just a gimmick. It's just a gimmick to kind of sell tickets, right? Like
Jaws 3D, Friday the 13th, Part 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street, I think the third one was 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's this movie. I don't know. Do we talk about the deaths? None of them are
particularly interesting. Yeah. Jason just starts like murdering people. But I want to...
Oh,
go ahead.
I was going to say that the dude, the boyfriend of the main girl who I checked and he had to have been about like 24 at the time, but looked like a fucking 38 year old.
To be fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, dude,
he's hanging out with children.
The guy that was like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what I thought, where he was like, he says something to the effect of like, well, you know, you keep denying me and I'm going to get weird. I'm like, okay.
Yes. Yeah. He's like gaslighting her. He's like,
that's why I have to check his age. I'm like, how is this fucking creep? Oh, he's the same age as her.
Yeah.
He looks very old.
Yeah. He looks noticeably older than the rest of the kids, the kids that came in the van.
Which is super funny because I think some of those kids are older than him. And I'm like, damn, dude, like what?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I believe that, but all right. But yeah, it was noticeable how funny that was, that he's kind of like the main love interest for the final girl here, right? I believe.
Yeah. So he gets probably the only cool death, I think.
Okay. Do you want to go to spoilers to talk about it? Is that what we have? So yes. Okay, spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Jason squeezes his head until his eye popped. And I was like, all right.
Fair.
It's the beginning of Jason being like superhuman.
True. Yeah. I wonder how people reacted to... I mean, this must have become like an iconic thing, right? Where like Jason wore the hockey mask. This is like the first time people have seen it. And he must have been like, oh my God, this is fucking cool. This big hunching guy and... a matching mechanic suit or something with a fucking mask on. It's
which was in his fucking like farm boy overalls with his plaid shirt.
We've completely gone away from like Hills Have Eyes, Carrie, you know, poor, live out in the woods, hillbilly, deliverance creature. And now we're like in whatever getup, the sort of more iconic getup that kind of that's kind of consistent for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to look. I guess this would be the beginning of it, but I'm pretty sure he was just wearing like a shirt and jeans, right?
It was
long sleeve, like mechanic-y though. Yeah.
Mechanic-y, yeah. He's wearing like just simple pants, I think, in this one. They don't really match. He's just wearing jeans and a shirt.
Yeah, because ultimately his outfit turns in, I guess this is the beginning of it. You're right. So it's a long sleeve blue shirt, which he's wearing in this movie, and then some like khakis, I guess. They look like blue jeans. And then eventually he dons a white t-shirt underneath that gets dirtier and dirtier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is it. This is like
interesting.
Yeah, I think this is I bring that up because I think this is an important moment, right? Because this is the iconic image most people recognize about this series, is the hockey mask and then this outfit. So even, what was that video game we played? It looks exactly like this. It's called, do you remember this? It looks
like this character.
It looks exactly like this character. And he's like going through like a hotel or something. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
Was it like a old computer game?
It was an arcade game we played at the barcade over here.
Oh, God, I don't know. It sounds like one of the Slaughterhouse games.
It is. That's what I'm talking about, actually. Slaughterhouse. Yeah? Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. It's very much in that vein, you know, like Slaughterhouse completely ripped off this idea of a murderer or whatever. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, only other spoiler I'm willing to give, because everybody dies. Doesn't matter. Like, one person survives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's never heard of again.
Pretty much, yeah.
She's able to, like, after trying to lynch him, is essentially what happens. Mm-hmm. He doesn't die, and then she swings an axe into his forehead, which is where we get the iconic notch in the hockey mask.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which stays through the remainder of the series as well. And then he keeps moving, and then he kind of dies. They try to do the fake out ending again, but this time it seems a little more definitive. Like, no, he's dead.
Yes, John. Yes.
Yeah. There's no way there's going to be a final chapter.
Yeah. They take him to the morgue. He's dead. Somebody pronounced him dead. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say too much about this movie. I didn't like it. And you know, I thought it was just lesser than, it was just like a too much of a repeat of the other two movies, who I think did this exact same plot and whatever much better. So, and I think that's what these movies are, right? They just sort of just copy each other until it kind of gets redundant, and then they just start over, and they just, we're going to do something different, a little different, you know, and then they do, then they run it to the ground, and they just redo the next part again. So. Alrighty.
Well, if you thought this was the worst movie in the series, I'd hold on to your britches.
Well, I'm just excited because we were talking about this off air, but I think the series at least gets weird, right? The series is going to get weird and funny and just ridiculous. So,
unfortunately, it's not going to be starting with the next movie.
No.
But I think it's going to get real funky after this one.
Okay. Well, let's move over to rating the movie. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give?
Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Friday the 13th Part 3 3D. Ugh. I'm gonna give it 5 sexy spooky bones because probably my favorite theme song in the series.
Yeah, that's true. I'm gonna give it a 3. I hated this movie. 3 for 3. Yeah, part 3. Friday the 13th. Part 3 3D. 3 rating. That's what I got. Yeah, I was not a fan of this movie. I actually thought this was pretty bad.
Jason is back. Three times before.
Sorry, you change your mind?
You have felt the terror, known the madness, lived the horror. But this is the one you've been screaming for. Because Friday, April 13th, will be Jason's unlucky day. Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Now playing at a theater near you. Consult your local listings.
Okay. Moving over to Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
Guaranteed to be a way better movie.
Guaranteed. Skeleton Boys guarantee. Alrighty, John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Coming in at number 3 for Friday the 13th, final chapter. Corey Feldman, young Tom Savini.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Very true.
He's like, oh no, I'm in trouble. Give me 15 minutes. Sorry, that made me laugh really hard. Coming in at number 2 for Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Crispin Glover's most famous dance.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1 for Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Rob Lowe's parents own explanation?
I don't think I get it.
You're telling me one of the actors in this movie didn't look like it could be Rob Lowe's brother? There's an actor in this that looks like Rob Lowe and this guy probably fucked and then gave birth to Zac Efron.
That's okay.
I'm gonna wait for you to see who I'm talking about.
No, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, he died in the shower, right? The guy that died in the shower.
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy with the pretty eyes and the huge chin.
That's what I was going to say. It's the chin. It's the chin that you're, that is, he has a very defined chin.
I was going to say his eyes look very Rob Lowe, Zac Efron.
Yeah. Yeah. This is also true.
I was hoping you were going to say like, oh, that's what I assumed you're going to say. The pretty guy with the big chin.
Yeah. All right. We're up to part four. Part four, the final chapter. What we know is they...
And real quick, you can catch us on your favorite podcaster of choice. Apple and YouTube. And not YouTube.
Not YouTube. Don't go to YouTube. And
Spotify.
Yep.
And that's it. Wherever you want, really, except for YouTube.
Yeah. Everywhere.
No, Twitch. No, don't go to Twitch either, actually.
Oh, yeah. Don't go to Twitch ever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think... Friday the 13th, the final chapter, it is, this was truly idea being that this was going to be the final one, yeah. That the series kind of running its course and that they were going to end it, you know, one last final movie that they can just cash out on. And personally,
you want my first thought?
Please. Yeah, go ahead.
It sucked. Okay. What did you want to say?
I was going
to
say this is better than the third one. I preferred it to the third one.
I cannot agree with that. I really hated this movie.
No, let me caveat that. But that's saying that I would say the first 40 minutes of this movie is very boring. So I arguably would say the setup and the pacing.
Out of all four of them.
Yeah.
Just insanely boring, right? I forgot what I was watching. I was like, what the fuck is playing right now? I was like, oh yeah, I'm watching the Friday the 13th movie. And you can ask my partner. I was so excited to continue the series because the third one, albeit a bad movie, I was like, these are actually funny. They're fun. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This one had no charm.
I'm with you. I'm with you there. I mean, we're eventually going to diverge, right? But I mean, I completely agree with you. Like, I think the characters are boring. We had the experiment twins, and we had like this
poor Australian, I don't know where she's from, trying to do an American accent the entire movie. I'm like, this is bad.
She's like, yo, come on. Something. Yeah,
exactly. I was like, well, what is she saying?
But I would argue that once we kind of get over the slow, I mean, we get the introduction again, but this time we get the rehash of the movies, but this time we get specifically part two, like when they have, which I think is like so far in the series is maybe probably one of the best scenes in any of these movies is when they're having that campfire tale in part two and the guy's like explaining Jason's origins. So good that they just rehashed it in this movie to kind of explain who Jason was at the beginning of this. And then they kind of just, you know, intercut it with what happened in part three. And that opens up the movie. And then we're here at the morgue. And, you know, of course, we have this very boring morgue scene, which is just awful.
What are you talking about? The recap?
Yeah.
Which I'm hoping this is the last
one. I hope it's the last one, too. Yeah.
Like, at least the third one kind of just recapped the second movie. This one recaps all three fucking movies.
Yeah. But I think
it's like scenes from all three movies. I'm like, hey, this movie came out a year later. I think we got it. It's like the first movie came out in what, like 80, 81?
Yeah.
And then like 82, 83, 84. Hey, we got it.
I would say that this one worked more because they're referencing two, not three, right? Three's kind of peppered in there so they can kind of like kick off the story towards the end of his little monologue. But I really like the fact that they kind of went back to that campfire scene, which I really liked. And then they kind of like use that as the thing to kind of explain Jason's lore and stuff like that. And we got scenes. It kind of like did a really good job of fleshing out some of the more stickier parts of this lore, because we all know that like in part one, we had the mother killing the kids and stuff like that. And that was in part two, immediately just kind of like papered over, and they just like, no, actually he's been alive for 30 years. And he's like this hick with the bag on, he kills people with a bag on his head, with his mom's head. But,
and he was like anti-violence. He was like living into the forest, like sort of like a hippie monk in the forest, like
for 30 plus serenity. Years. Yeah.
Hey, I look like this. I understand that. But if I stay away from people and live in Zen. And then he saw his mother get decapitated in front of him. He was like, I'm going to fucking kill every teenager I see in my way. In fact, I'm going to travel to other camps nearby, and I might even go to the West Coast. I don't know. Thinking about it. Gotta go.
I like that. That's the paper job they did. So at least that's the continuing lore that Jason is actually. No, Jason was actually alive. He just was like in the woods and he saw his mother die, which turned him into this rage killing whatever monster for part 2 and 3. So I like that general setup, but I didn't like then the movie just falls off a cliff because then you got this boring scene at the morgue. Yeah. Like it's so extended and you got really shitty coroner. You just have a stupid nurse that likes him, and then it just kind of goes on and on and on.
Oh my God. And that goes on for so fucking long. And I'm like, wow, as much as I shat on Halloween 2, that movie's way better than this.
Right. Yeah. It did. You're right. It did kind of echo a lot of Halloween 2. And then we're still like, they're like the nurse and the coroner are having like this, I guess they're together, but they're not together. She's like fighting off his advances and she's like watching the news. And again, we get another summary of what happened. And I'm like, Jesus, we've been on for like 10 minutes. We're still getting summaries of yeah. fucking the previous movie.
15 minutes that where I was like, dude, like, how is this an hour of the run? It's 15 minutes. It's
yeah.
Like, just get on with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, oh man, this.
What's funny is that you get introduced to our main characters and it is so quick that I'm like, I don't remember any of his name.
We're in a car traveling similar to like the third one. Yeah. They're going to what I love and think is so funny about these movies is they never go back to Camp Crystal Lake. They're always like, oh, they just go to a different camp. Part or never yeah. part of the they're near the camp, they're never at the camp, which is like a weird detail, right? That like there's like this surrounding area of just nothing but campsites.
Because like every piece of merch that you ever buy from this is all like, ooh, Camp Crystal Lake. Oh, I will say is it this one or the third one? They call it Camp Blood because of all the murders,
right?
Which I thought was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they do call it Camp Blood a couple of times because I think
which was originally the name of the series, according to Rolando Alvarez. You heard
it first. Still last names.
Knows the scoop.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody knows your last name yet.
Yeah. No. A good editor who edited that out. But yeah, and honestly, we get the only thing I truly remember about this movie is probably Crispin Glover. That was because he's yeah. playing
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman too. Yeah, but as far as just the teenage. Boys like yeah. couldn't tell you any of their names or who they are.
There's the Rob Lowe looking guy that it's like none of these characters they're neither bad nor good. They're not being sleazy, gross, or being genuine. They just all kind of die. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
it's just set up for them to die. And at least like Crispin Glover's this amazing character actor who is like can yeah. just infuse his personality in these movies, and he does this again.
Just. Awkward.
Yeah, he just yeah. has like a thing he does.
I will say, you remember one of the sort of defining features of these movies, according to like horror aficionados, maybe like in the, you get it from like Scream, right? Where they say like, hey, Jason Voorhees, so don't fornicate, don't do drugs, mm-hmm. don't drink, blah, blah, blah. And this one, we have like a character that doesn't do any of those things, I don't think. And she still dies, but I'm okay that she died.
I think that... Yeah. That idea, as far as I can tell from this series, that idea is, I just feel like it's kind of oversimplification of what's happening in these movies, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, it's just an oversimplification. It's a weird way to just write stuff off without really like watching to generalize the movies that, and then somebody had a theory about how like, oh, well, he kills people who are promiscuous. It's actually a metaphor for premarital sex. And, you know, they kind of just add their own little context to it, but
no, he tried to kill a child in this movie,
yeah, so, yeah no. he's a murderer. He just kills whatever's in front of him, you know.
Yeah, like whoever's in his way. Yeah.
And I think I think
that's why it's important that we do these series.
Yeah,
just squash these myths. Like,
yeah,
don't put Jason Voorhees in a box. He's not a one-dimensional type of guy.
Get your woke leftist agenda.
Yeah. He is one for all, kill for all. It's wonderful.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a lot of that stems from like the movies. Yeah. He's just this. I think what ends up happening is that they write these characters. Just real quick. They write these characters so broadly and generically. And it's a staple in the movie where it's just like, let's just get a group of kids. They don't have to whatever. and that people just put their own ideas on them because they're so like nondescript. They're just not, there's no character here.
Yeah.
They're just kids.
Which is not accurate at all. Right. You know why? Because in the third movie we just reviewed, the black guy dies second to last.
That's true. He's almost a hero.
Oh no, he dies last.
I think you're right. He does die last. Yeah.
he dies a hero technically, right? Yeah, you're right.
Right, yeah.
If he hadn't had popped out to die again, our main final girl wouldn't have lived.
Right. Exactly.
That's the hero we need. Hold on. I'm going to continue talking. I'm going to find his name and be like, this is the hero.
I would say the only interesting part of this is that there's now like a family involved, which is something new for the series, something different, you know, with Corey Feldman and his mom.
Really
and
shoe-ined, but yeah.
At least it's something different, right? At least we actually have a kid in this. I don't think we've had like an underage, like very like young child in any of these movies yet, which I thought was at least a different, you know, flavor to these movies. I feel like there's also a lot more murders. There's a lot of people dying in these movies because of, I believe like Tom Savini came back to quote unquote finish off this series. So the kills are good, right? The effects are nice. There's a lot of them.
But they don't have, in this movie, you don't get an Ali, right? Played by Nick Savage, who is the last person to get killed in Friday the 13th Part 3.
There you go.
And he was a black guy.
Yeah, here you go. I mean, I just feel like, in my opinion, as I go back and rewrite these movies, I think if they would have just focused on the family and it becomes like a home invasion story, that would have been a way different movie.
But they needed the teens, right? Like they needed the raunchy teens.
To have the murders and the special effects, because they feel that's the selling point of this franchise. Just the over-sexualization, over, you know, the sort of gratuitous violence.
Which I could only imagine during this time, it was like, this is the beginning of PG-13, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is probably like, oh, okay, the teenagers are watching this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, this is, I guess, more in the spoiler territory, but like what happens towards the end, well, I was like, why is this set up for the final girl like this? But anyway, well, I'll get to that when we get to that. But yeah, I will say the score is unimaginative.
Not quite as
super in love with the theme of the third movie.
Yeah. Not quite the bop the third one was. I completely agree. Yeah. And I don't know. I just, a lot of misses here in terms of like, do you want to just go into spoilers so we can talk about the end of this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait, no. Stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Cause we're about to go into
spoilers.
Why did Jason set up a fucking haunted house for the final girl?
That's
what is going on here?
That's literally happens. I don't know how. I mean, that is literally the one thing I find fascinating about this movie, these series so far.
Which it's interesting.
Yes.
It's just like,
yes.
When and why did he spend the time doing this?
Every freaking movie, he murders everybody in the house. The final girl comes into the house and just like stumbles upon all the dead bodies. I must say that is literally probably the most creative part of this movie because it's the exact same ending every time.
It's the same ending, except this one's got like really weird, goofy, like she tries to open a door and though there's like somebody basically in a crucifixion and Crispin Glover's body is blocking a doorway, which I was like, just fucking go past him, right?
Yeah.
Push his body out of the way and run away. But she's like, oh, I can't go out this way. I'm like, what? Okay.
I would also say this is what he's like superhuman now. He's doing superhuman stuff. Yeah. He's like too strong.
He's squishing people's heads willy-nilly.
Like he's completely... And the way this series begins is that he just awakens in the morgue, right? Like kind of...
Yeah.
Supernaturally, right? Like, whatever. I don't even know how to explain it. He just wakes up and then he is
alive again.
Yeah, he's like a living dead at this point. Yeah.
And he has decayed quite dramatically in like the past like 48 hours.
Yeah, that was about what this movie takes place from the last scene.
Yeah. And then you get a moment where like the final girl is telling Corey Feldman his or her younger brother, like, as soon as I distract him, run, just run, just run. Jason this is one of my favorite moments in the movie, actually, is she's on the second floor looking out the window like, oh, I don't see him. And she's like using her breath to get rid of the condensation. There was nothing on the inside looking out. And then Jason reaches in, grabs her by the shirt and tosses her out the fucking window.
Yeah.
And she falls like perfectly on the ground with her, like, she's still wearing boots for whatever reason. Like, guys, just fucking wear sneakers. What is going on? And then she gets up, runs back into the house, and she's like, oh no, my younger brother's still here. I told you to run. But younger brother, we got to remember at the beginning of the movie, it's established for 3 seconds that he's a big horror aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
So he's cutting his hair because he found an old newspaper clipping of Jason Voorhees in the attic. I'm guessing Jason used to live there. I don't know. I don't know what the story is supposed to be. And makes himself look like that off a black and white newspaper clipping. And this works.
Yeah. Which, I'll quickly say this, and then I have a question for you after, is that it's essentially the same ending as part two, right? When she dresses up as the mom or whatever, and he dresses up as him, as a younger version of Jason, right? Which kind of like...
Yeah. Like a child version.
A child version of him.
Makes way less sense, but yeah.
Yeah, that they...
He doesn't remember what he looks like. What the fuck? But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was like... essentially the same ending that it somehow this trick works on Jason where like he's for a moment put in this like trance of like, oh, I think I see my mother, which, or I think I see a younger version of myself. Just so weird.
My favorite thing is like they were able to find a photo of him that looked like that during this time, even though he's been missing for like whatever.
Right. I mean, I don't even remember the specifics of what it said on the paper, right? It just said that died, right? But he didn't die. So... that's just like a whole other thought.
There's also like a, there's a fucking, like a photo of somebody and it's like, oh, when this happened to this person and it's literally a photo of like hours before that happened. I'm like, how did they get that photo? And why would she want to remember that? What is going on here?
Do you know, I didn't think much of it until right now, but I remember, didn't these kids drive by a tombstone with Pamela Voorhees?
Oh, yeah, I think so, yeah.
Dude.
Oh, we
break
we
that down for me. What is that?
No, I think it's more important to talk about, hey, don't be a kind of slobby-looking, thrash-style, chubby woman hitchhiking without any lines, because you're going to get killed.
Right, yeah. For in the like, throat. Yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
What happened here? Like, they like, I feel like they went out of the way to make her look goofy and she doesn't talk at all and she gets killed.
I just like, I pulled up the picture of this because I just wanted to like mentally go through this, right? So it says Pamela Voorhees, 1930, 1979, at rest. That's what it says. Okay, so explain to me who paid for this. Did Jason pay for this? Who put her ashes here? Like who buried her here?
The key element of the story that we're missing is that the Voorhees are like ultra rich. They're like so rich that they kill people. You know, we've seen those movies before.
I mean, go ahead.
Like what was that? Edgar Allan Poe, the Mike Flanagan show we saw.
Fall of House of Usher.
So it's essentially that, except they never like they didn't keep to the riches. They were just like, oh, we're gonna fucking kill people.
And it looks new too. And it's like, what? Who? Whose dude did this? Because there's only one person that would possibly, I imagine, their family do this.
And what makes it better is like, so Pamela Voorhees, you know, whatever, to 1979.
Right.
As far as people knew, the first movie took place in 81.
Or 80. Right? Yeah.
Even though, or 80, yeah. So now it's canon that that all took place in 79.
Yeah.
But you have to watch 4 movies to finally realize that.
Yeah, I just it's a good shot because it kind of echoes Pamela Voorhees' contribution to this series and how important she was, right?
Yeah,
I think that's what that scene represents, right? But I mean, it just the logic behind it just doesn't add up at all. Like,
I mean, none of the logic. Like, how do these reporters are super good at digging up all these weird old photos and figuring this shit out?
Right. Yeah,
but he's still around. That's why I think, like Peter Parker to Spider-Man, I think Jason Voorhees also works for the newspaper and is also the killer in his own story.
So he interviews
he's
himself.
He's got to make money somehow. Yeah. He squandered his fortune on a tomb for his mother.
It was a nice tomb. Very good. Very good work.
Very nice tomb.
Yeah.
And he bought some really nice clothes that are just getting fucking dirty now.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what it is, right? That's he's blew it all on tombstones and clothing.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. Jason Voorhees is basically Spider-Man if he went bad.
Okay, you know what? I have that a picture of that. Okay, it says the picture referenced that Corey Feldman's Tommy Jarvis used. Crystal Lake Massacre says on the newspaper, 7 camp counselors killed. So clearly this is when, this is like the first shot of when Pamela kills him. Pamela Voorhees kills the kids with a POV, you know. I think this is what this shot is like echoing, this newspaper or whatever. But yeah, I don't know why they have a artist rendition of Jason's look.
Yeah. How would they know what it looks like? I'm confused.
That's pretty wild, man. That's wild.
It's like if you want these movies to make sense, they don't. But I think that's gonna hopefully for the rest of the films be the charm of what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And what is this ending where like Corey Feldman is at the very end and we get the final girl, of course, again in the hospital. She wakes up and blah, blah, blah. And then Corey Feldman's there and he like hugs her. And then we get the close up on him. Are we supposed to assume that now somehow Corey Feldman
is the new Jason Voorhees?
He's going to be the new Jason. Yeah. Not the worst idea.
Very stupid.
Not the worst idea, but.
But kind of dumb. Because that's so.
Halloween did this shit.
Right? Halloween. Well, I mean, later.
Later, but, yeah.
You would assume that'd be a new Halloween thing, too.
Yeah.
It's just funny. I also joke that, like, she's in the hospital. She's all done up. And then he comes in. And I wanted him to say something like, yeah, they let me keep my hairstyle and my makeup. So. that I did in 15 minutes while you were fighting Jason and I could pretend to be him. And it worked. And then I chopped him to pieces, except I'm a feeble little child, so I didn't get very far, so he might still be alive.
I almost
or something, I don't know.
I almost feel like, man, like that was one of the better later Halloween movies when he has a cousin or the little girl is now.
Oh yeah.
I actually thought that was a nice setup, that, you know, Return of Michael Myers, I think is what it was called. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't remember the actress's name, and this isn't fair to her, but she kind of looks like Lacey Chabert, except obviously way older, right? Not way
younger,
older,
yeah.
But like, yeah. No, I mean older.
Older, right? Now, but younger, and she was like a kid. She was a child. And then like I like the idea of that it's sort of because she's related to Michael Myers, that she kind of is now gonna kind of like continue, you know, whatever, his murdering or become a killer like him. They immediately like write that off in the next movie. It's like completely just forgotten about. But yeah, I mean, so that's why I kind of saw similarities between this and what Corey Feldman's doing here, that like, oh, I'm like, I he technically did kill Jason Voorhees, right? So that,
I mean, what he did was he chopped that fucker into smithereens, but that apparently didn't happen. So,
do you think that's commentary on the fact that he used to probably read a bunch of Fangorias and made masks and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. And his best friend Corey and he were vampire killers.
Yeah. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts on this movie, or are you ready to rate it?
No, I'm ready to rate it. Yeah.
Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna give Friday the 13th, the final chapter, 3 sexy spooky bones.
I'm gonna go the other direction. I'm gonna say 5. I think this is middle of the road. Middle of the road. It's gonna be some bad, some good. You know, I think that's where I feel about it. It's a 5 for me.
The theme sucked. They just went back to form. It's fine.
Right. All right. Well, we're done with the series, John. That was a nice 4. Five
more movies?
6 more movies?
Not including? Yeah, I was kidding.
Oh, man. We 6
more movies.
Yeah, new beginnings. New beginnings, John. All right, I guess we're here for six more movies. So,
let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, guys, girls, not binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay.